Okay, today is Tuesday, April 21st, the 27th of Nisan, 5780, and we are on part four of Shmuel Bet Perek Yud Tet, and I'm going to offer a little review since it's been a while, and we're right in the middle of a perek. So Shmuel Bet Tet Zayin is where we first meet the characters, and we last time we met before Pesach, we talked about Shimi ben Gera, who's in the middle here, and this week we're going to talk about Tziva and Mephibosheth. So I just wanted to remind you of what happened in 16, and this is when David was fleeing from Avshalom. So David was a little past the top of the mountain. Behold, Tziva, the servant of Mephibosheth, came toward him with a pair of saddled asses. So he had a million things that he was going to give to David and his people. And David said, "What are these for?" And Tziva said, "They're for you. I want you and all your soldiers to have food." I'm just summarizing. And then David asked, "Where's Mephibosheth? Where's your master's son?" And if you remember, just to remind you, Mephibosheth is the grandson of Shaul, the son of Yonatan. So Tziva then says this awful thing about Mephibosheth. He says he lives in Yerushalayim because he thinks today the house of Israel will restore my father's kingdom to me. So we talked about that. The Malbim, I think, said that that everyone, after this whole civil war between Avshalom and David was over, the people wouldn't be satisfied with either of them because they'd realize that Avshalom would win and that he was actually quite awful, and then they'd call for the restoration of the kingdom of Shaul. So Tziva is accusing Mephibosheth of high treason, of staying in Jerusalem waiting for that day. Okay, and then the king said to Tziva, "Behold, all that belongs to Mephibosheth is yours." So the king, David, was mekabel. He accepted this Lashon Hara. Hi, Ruth. How are you? We just started a little bit ago. We're reviewing chapter 16. So he accepted this Lashon Hara that Tziva said about Mephibosheth, that he's awaiting the restoration of his grandfather's kingdom, in which he as the lone survivor, would be the king. Okay, so that's what we're going to focus on. But then there we have the Shimi ben Gera who comes. And at this point, when David is fleeing, he's also a relative of Shaul, not a direct descendant, but a relative. And he actually stones David, and he curses him and calls him, if you look, man of blood, wicked man. And David there ignores him. And even though Avishai, the son of Tzruah, wants to kill him. And the king says, "What is it between me and you, sons of Tzruah?" Okay, so just wanted to point out, I don't know the significance of it, but it's worth pointing out that between this parak, where we have Tziva and Mephibosheth first, and then Shimi ben Gera next, in our parak, which we learned before Pesach, we first have the story of Shimi ben Gera coming back asking forgiveness, and David granting him that forgiveness, even though the same son of Tzruah wants to, Avishai ben Tzruya, is suggesting to kill him, Shimi ben Gera, for all the curses that he had done. And David says the same thing, Ma'ali v'lechem b'nei Tzruah, what is it between me and you, sons of Tzruah, which he said in 16, when Avishai ben Tzruah wanted to kill him then. He says the same thing here. So I didn't show you explicitly that same thing, so I want to show it to you here. And then we have Mephibosheth, the son of Shaul, coming. So it's kind of a chiastic structure. In Perek Tet Zayin, we had Shimi ben Gera, sorry, Mephibosheth, Tziva, and then Shimi ben Gera. Here we have Shimi ben Gera, and then Mephibosheth coming afterwards. So that
is. You said Mephibosheth before. You said it's the son of Yonatan, and now it says Ben Shaul.
Right. That's why I highlighted it. So Rav Bazak has this theory. I'm not sure how I feel about it, not that I would argue with Rav Bazak, but his theory is that the reason why David was so quick to accept the Lashon Hara from Tziva about Mephibosheth was because he's conflicted about Yonatan. He feels that Yonatan essentially at the end, because he went back and fought with his father Shaul, that he was essentially rejecting David, that he could have abandoned his father and joined forces with David. So somehow David is conflicted in kind of taking it out on Mephibosheth. And Rav Bezak proves his point here by how it says Mephibosheth ben Shaul instead of ben Yonatan, that David is sort of transferring his feelings, his conflicted feelings about Yonatan and also maybe even Shaul as well, onto Mephibosheth, which causes him to accept this Lashon Hara.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very deep. Okay, so we are going to start with...
The Abarbanel has some comments, too, I've got in my book.
Yeah? What does he say?
The Abarbanel, the reason he's reluctant to believe Mephibosheth, two things. Number one, he could have, you know, he complained that Ziba did not, took off on him and didn't saddle the donkey for him.
Right.
The fact is, he could have gotten the donkey from somebody else. The neighbor or friend could have gotten the donkey from Mephibosheth. Second problem is Mephibosheth doesn't come out when everybody else comes out to greet him. He's kind of lagging way, way behind.
Right.
And so David has the, can see this as a, that maybe that Mephibosheth still harbors some resentment towards David because he's the king.
It could be. But we also have to keep in mind that Mephibosheth is lame and his legs. He can't walk. Okay, so we're going to see a bunch of different opinions and what David's, we're going to see a bunch of different opinions about David's and how he felt about this and what his motivations and intentions were. Okay, so we're starting with Kafe. Mephibosheth ben Shaul yarad likrat hamelech. So he, Mephibosheth, the son of Shaul, we talked about how he's really the son of Yonatan, went down to greet the king. Vilo asa raglav, vilo asa svamo, ve'et begadav lo kibas, limin hayom lechet hamelech ad hayom asher ba b'shalom. Okay, so this means that he hadn't washed his feet, he hadn't trimmed his mustache, and his clothes he did not wash from the day of the king's departure until the day he came back in peace. So this clearly does not depict what Siva had said he was doing, of a man awaiting the restoration of the kingship of his grandfather Shaul. He was clearly in mourning for David the entire time that he was there. Okay, Kafa Vayhi ki ba Yerushalayim likrat hamelech. So he comes to Jerusalem to greet the king. This is another clue. I think the Malbim is going to point out that he actually wasn't in Jerusalem. He had to come to Jerusalem. So he didn't feel safe remaining in Jerusalem. That was another reason somebody says why David might have been justified in his mind in accepting Lashon Hara, that he felt safe staying in Jerusalem with all the supporters of Avshalom. So if he were really a supporter of David, he wouldn't have stayed. But we see clearly he wasn't in Jerusalem. Vayomer lo hamelech, lama lo halachta imi Mephibosheth? And David says to him, and it's an interesting choice of words that David says, why didn't you walk with me, Mephibosheth? So, but it's, I mean, we understand is why didn't you come with me? Why didn't you go with me? But it could have used bata, it could have used a more general term as opposed to like literally walking, which he can't do. So David, you can tell David is hurt the way he says it. Lama lo halachta imi Mephibosheth? Why didn't you come with me? Kasein, Vayomer Adoni Hamelch Avdi Rimani. He said, my lord, the king, my servant deceived me. Ki amar avdecha echbesha li hachamor, v'arkav aleha ve'elech et hamelech ki piseach avdecha. So this is what Joel was saying, that the Abarbanel was saying. His servant, Tziva, told me that I'll saddle up the donkey and I'll let you ride on it. And I'll go to the king, and I'll go to the king because you are lame. Okay, let me just. Whoops, sorry about that. Okay. Sorry. Kafchet, Vayergel v'avdecha el Adoni Hamelech, v'Adoni Hamelech kemalach halokim, v'asei hatov beinecha. So, and he slandered your servant. Liragel is a, like the meraglim, the spies. It's a form of slander. I think it comes from the etymology of it, because regel is leg, obviously, might be the traveling merchants that would go from town to town and give everyone the latest gossip from the different towns. So he slandered your servant to my lord the king, but my lord the king is an angel of God, implying that he knows the truth. Do therefore what is good in your eyes. 29. Ki lo haya kol beit avi ki im anshei mavet ladoni hamelch v'teshet et avdecha be'ochle shulchanecha u'ma yesh li od tzedaka v'liz ok od al hamelch. El hamelch, sorry. So, meaning, it was by your grace that you even allowed me to live as a descendant of Shaul. Most kings would murder all of the descendants that could lead an insurrection. Is that the right word? Against the king. And he says, "You fed me at your table, and what do I have? I can't ask for any more tzedakah because really everything is yours. So the fact that you gave Tziba all of my land and property, it really wasn't mine to begin with because it's only through your grace that I live, and so I have no right to ask for a charity and to cry out to the king." And now the king, David responds very strangely. This is probably one of the most complex things about David HaMelech. I think on a certain level you can even understand the Bathsheba affair better than you can understand this reaction to Mephibosheth. So he says to Mephibosheth, "Why are you speaking further your words?" Amarti atav et Tziva techalku et hasadeh. I said you and Tziva should split the field. So this, it just seems so odd that he doesn't apologize, he doesn't acknowledge anything, he just says, "You guys split the field and don't speak to me anymore." Ve'omer Mephibosheth al hamelech, gam et hakol yikach acharei asher ba adoni hamelech b'shalom el beito. And Mephibosheth here is, again, he says, "Let him take everything. I don't care, as long as my lord the king has returned to his house in peace." He really, it just seems like David really was wrong in accepting this Lashon Hara, and then even more wrong in his response to Mephibosheth when he came to explain what actually happened. And Mephibosheth is just completely righteous here. It's a very strange thing. Okay, so let's read the Malbim. So he starts with his questions, his shelot. Lama hodiya shelo asar raglav. Why does the pasuk tell us about not washing his feet and not trimming his mustache and not laundering his clothes? Uma shamar ki va Yerushalayim lo yitzdak ki b'Yerushalayim yashav adata. What does it mean? He came to Yerushalayim. Wasn't he in Yerushalayim until now? Be'ata yatzah miYerushalayim likrat hamelech. And now he would have come from Jerusalem to greet the king. And that which is written, and to do what is good in his eyes, because at the end of his words, anything is permissible. I think it's saying, or everything is left open. Okay, so Malbim explained there, and he repeats it here, why David would have received this Lashon Hara from Tziva about Mephibosheth. And he has two reasons. Aleph, she'an nir ek devarav. It seemed like it was actually true. Mima shelo halach Mephibosheth im hamelch lihitzta'er b'tzarato. That Mephibosheth didn't go to be with the king to be sorrow in his sorrows, to give him comfort. Bet, mima shelo hitya'ra, Lashavet b'Yerushalayim, that which he wasn't afraid to dwell in Jerusalem, v'hu me'ohavei David, if he was truly a lover of David. V'siper po, and it tells us here, ki bevo lifnei David, when he came before David, nikar heitev ki avdo davar alav lashon sheker. It becomes extremely clear that his servant, Tziva, had spoken lies. Ki haraya mima shelo hitzta'er b'tzarato. The proof that he wasn't sorry in his troubles, he wasn't suffering with him, nir'eh shikrota mima shelo asa se'ar raglav v'safamo v'lo kibes begadav miyom lechet hamelech ad shuvo. It's totally clear he was mourning and he was mitzta'er b'tzarato. He was suffering in his struggles, and that he didn't wash his feet, he didn't do his laundry, and he didn't trim his mustache until the day that the king returned. Because he mourned and he was sorry on the troubles of his master. V'chein haraya shenit, and the second proof, mima she'ashav b'Yerushalayim, that which the lie that he dwelled in Jerusalem, below pachad, without any fear, gam kein sheker, this is also a lie. Ki, v'hi ki b'Yerushalayim likrat ha'melech, he came to Jerusalem to greet the king. Ratzol nor she'be'emet yashav mifivoshet ad atar, chutz le'ir, nichba v'nistar. Until this moment, Mephibosheth was sitting outside of the city, hidden and unseen. And when he came now to Jerusalem, David, v'sham kibel panav. At the time that David came in there, he received his face. And once he already saw his righteousness, and he said, why didn't you come with me? He answered, Avadi Rimani, my servant deceived me. It wasn't enough that he didn't saddle the donkey. Od ragel be'avdecha. He also spoke slander on your servant. I don't need to apologize for his lies. Ki adoni hamelch kemal ach elokim. Because my lord the king is like this angel of God. She'ada hakol me'atzma b'chokhmato. Who would of course know everything from himself and from his wisdom. Ve'od she'ahit natzlut. And the only reason the king might think that the only reason why I would apologize is so that the king would return the field to me and that he would go back on his words to Tziva. And I don't want this. Just do whatever is good in your eyes. So he's not asking for anything. He's just happy the king won and came back alive. Kaftat ki. Since this field that you gave me was all tzedakah, even if it had been in his family, it still would have been the king's right to take it. And you further did even more tzedakah and chesed that you made me happy from the food on your table. Because anybody from the people of Shaul should have died. How will I ask for tzedakah? Acheret shehi hasadeh, an additional tzedakah that would be the fig field. V'kol shechein eich ezok, and all the more so. How could I yell out? Ki ilu lakachta mimeni et shali, as if you took something that was actually mine. Because even though it was his historical land, it was all within the rights of David to take it and confiscate it. Amarti David hekir ki hil shin alev. David recognized that Tziva spoke lashon hara about him. It's just that the king can't take back what he said. This sounds a lot like a chashverosh. Rak peresh devarav. He only explained his words. He said his intention when he gave it to Tziva in chapter 16 was that they would split the field. Vizeshamar, and that's why it says amarti. I said. Raton lomar kein hayadati. That is to say, this was my thought. Ubezel lo chazar midvarav. And with this, he doesn't go back on his words. Begam lo hayabaza aval neged Mephibosheth. And this also wasn't any crookedness against Mephibosheth. Achar shetziva ubanav ovdim etasadeh. Because Tziva and his sons did work the field. Magia lehem hachetzi kearis hayored lemachta. So therefore, they actually deserve half of the field. And this, I had to ask my son, who's been learning Baba Basra, which is all about property rights for a really long time, what this means. So an aris is a sharecropper. And the halacha is such that a sharecropper gets half the field or something like that. I don't know. Ask somebody who's learned Baba Basra. So the Malbim explains through this halacha about sharecroppers that indeed what David said was a halacha. He's explaining that David didn't do anything wrong to Mephibosheth. He's sort of explaining away the complexities of David's reaction to Mephibosheth. And he's saying, okay, I recognize that you were with me this whole time in spirit, if not physically present. And what I said stands because Tziva, as the sharecropper, has a right to half your field anyway. So it's sort of, Malbim kind of whitewashes David's reaction in that way. Okay, now we have a very long Gemara that I think we will just read the English. It quotes a lot of the psukim here and it gives an explanation. Okay, so I have this later. and we're going to get into it. What I didn't include here is there's a machloket, a argument, dispute between Rav and Shmuel. And Rav says that David accepted the Lashon Hara from Tziva, whereas Shmuel says he didn't accept it from Tziva. So I guess the Malbim might be following Shmuel's footsteps. Well, the Malbim says he did accept it, but he justifies the reasons why he accepts it and then goes back on it. But that's the debate, which we're going to get to later. But in the meantime, we're just focusing on Rav's opinion that he accepted the slanderous report, which you can understand is a very difficult to accept that David HaMelech, who did so much chesed, had so much compassion for everybody in his kingdom, and was so nice to Mephibosheth and loved Yonatan so much, would accept this Lashon Hara from Tziva, who is a shady character to begin with. So that's what the rabbis are kind of debating. Okay, so according to Rav, he did accept the Lashon Hara. As it is written, with regard to David's search for a surviving son of Yonatan, and the king said to him, to Tziva, shall a slave, where is he? And Tziva said to the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lo Davar, which is in Hebrew, B'Lo Davar. So Ziva indicated to David that Jonathan's son was inconsequential, lacking any matter of Torah. So that was already way back in chapter 9, Perek Tet. And is it written, then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lo Davar. The verse can be read that after sending for him, David found him filled with matters of Torah. So it seems all the way back in Perek Tet, Tziva hinted at Lashon Hara about Mephibosheth, which David accepted. But then once David actually met and saw Mephibosheth, he saw that he was full, malo, Davar of Torah, and that Tziva was wrong, which makes it even more confusing for our Perek. Now, after David saw that Tziva was a liar, when Tziva once again slandered Jonathan's sons Mephibosheth, why did David accept his report? As it is written that when David fled from Avshalom, he met Tziva. And the king said, and where is your master's son? And Tziva said to the king, behold, he is staying in Jerusalem. As he said, today shall the house of Israel restore to me the kingdom of my father. And from where do we derive that David accepted Ziva's slanderous report? As it is written, then said the king to Tziva, behold, all that belongs to Mephibosheth is yours. And Tziva said, I humbly beseech you that I may find favor in your sight, my lord, O king. And Shmuel said, oh, I do have the full debate here, I apologize. Shmuel said, David did not accept Ziva's slanderous report without substantiation. Rather, he himself saw conspicuous matters in Mephibosheth that indicated that Tziva was right. Okay? So according to Rav, it was pure Lashon Hara that Tziva was saying and nothing to substantiate it. But according to Shmuel, David wasn't accepting Tziva's slanderous report because he saw for himself that Mephibosheth was not 100% and that Tziva was right. As it is written, and Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and he had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came back in peace. David thought that he was mourning the fact that he had returned in peace. Okay? So this completely changes, it turns it on its head, that rather than Mephibosheth having mourned from the time Avshalom rebelled against David, he thought that David was mourning that David survived and returned, and now there is no chance of Mephibosheth returning to power. So therefore, that's why he thought it was substantial, Lashon Hara. And it is written, and it came to pass when he came to Jerusalem to meet the king, and the king said to him, why did you not go with me, Mephibosheth? And he answered, my lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For your servant said, I will saddle me a donkey, I will ride on it and go to the king, because lame is... I must have skipped something, sorry. Mephibosheth said to David as follows, I had hoped for your return, saying, when will he come in peace? And yet you do this to me, giving Ziba half of my estate. It is not against you that I have grievances, but against he who brought you back in peace. So this is how David is interpreting it. Not that he's so happy David's alive, but that he's so angry David's alive because David wronged him so substantially by giving Ziva half the estate. Mephibosheth's own statement substantiates Ziva's report about him. So this is how David hears everything Mephibosheth is saying, according to Shmuel, in that he's seeing all these negative traits himself. This is what is written, and the son of Yonatan was Merav Baal, and that's in Divrei Hayamim. The Gemara asks, Who was Merav Baal his name? Wasn't his name Mephibosheth? They're the same. However, since he entered into a quarrel, Merav, with his master, Baal, so the quarrel of the master, i.e. Hashem, and complained about Hashem having saved David, a divine voice emerged and said to him, quarrelsome one, the son of a quarrelsome one, you are just like your father Shaul. The Gemara explains, quarrelsome one, that which we just said that Mephibosheth complained to Hashem about his salvation of David, the son of a quarrelsome one, as it is written, and Shaul came to a city of Amalek and quarreled in the valley. And it's the same word of Reev. And if you remember, we spent a lot of time on that pasuk, and that's where the Gemara says that Shaul had a quarrel in himself, doubting Hashem's command to kill all of Amalek, including the animals and the children and the women. And he was quarreling. It's a hint. The valley here is a hint to Eglah Arufa, the cow that you kill when somebody died and you don't know who killed him, when you find a dead, murdered body. And he said to himself, how can it be that Hashem wants me to kill all these people? And he quarreled with himself and made his own conclusions, and that's why he didn't fulfill the word of Hashem. To the matter at hand, Rabbi Yehuda said that Rav said when David, so Rav remembers one that says he did accept Lashon Hara and reads the Psukim as the Malbim does. When David said to Mephibosheth, you and Siva shall divide the estate, a divine voice emerged and said to him, Rechavam and Yeravam. So Rechavam is the son of Shlomo, David's grandson, who inherits the kingdom after Shlomo dies. And Yeravam comes from the north. He, I think, is from Ephraim. And he's one that leads the rebellion against Rechavam. We're going to talk about that later. And they divide the kingdom. That's when the kingdom of Israel, of Israel, and the kingdom of Yehuda appear. And that's all as a result of David saying to Mephibosheth, you shall divide this state. So meaning the Rav sees David's response and says he was punished for that response. Rav Yehuda said that Rav said, had David not accepted Ziva's slanderous report about Mephibosheth, the kingdom of the house of David would not have been divided. Israel would not have worshipped idols because of Yeravam. Yeravam, if you remember in the book of Malachim, he sets up two golden cows, very interesting imagery, and closes off the road to Jerusalem, doesn't allow anybody to go to the base of Mikdash. And we would not have been exiled from our land. Okay, so you can see there's two conflicting views in the Gemara about David. It seems, based on our reading of the Malbim and other commentaries, and we're going to see in the Chafetz Chaim, that the vast majority reject Shmuel's view and go with Rav, which is actually the way the later rabbis in the Gemara work in terms of Rav and Shmuel in general. Rav and Shmuel, just to give you some background, were first generation Amoraim, so right after the Mishnah was codified by Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, and you start the Gemara. And the rabbis in the Mishnah are called Tanaim, and the rabbis in the Gemara are called Amoraim. So Rav and Shmuel are from the first generation of Amoraim. And when they argue all the time, they're chavrusas, they argue. And we always go according to Rav, almost always. So even though this isn't a halachic matter, it still makes sense that we accept Rav's opinion over Shmuel's opinion. Okay, so now I think we have time to do this Chafetz Chaim. So remember the last Chafetz Chaim that we saw a few weeks ago before Pesach, which was so beautiful about how we shouldn't be the last ones to greet the king. So he speaks also on this pasuk. Okay, so he relates it to Yosef and his brothers. It's and this is what the Shem Shmuel is also going to do. It's a classic Yosef versus Yehuda, and that plays out throughout the generations. So Yosef sometimes is replaced by Binyamin, because they're both the sons of Rachel. So our case is Shaul, who's a son of descendant of Binyamin, who comes from Rachel, and Yehuda, which is David HaMelech. And the Shem Yishmuel, which we're going to read next week, is actually going to explain why it's not one of the sons of Yosef, Ephraim or Manasseh. because that's really what the conflict should be between Yosef and David. And we also have that the Shem Yishmael is going to talk about Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. So there's always this dichotomy. And there's a really fascinating book called Patterns in Rashi that I'm reading now for the third or fourth time. And he talks about the Yosef model, which is usually Yosef HaTzadik, he's called the Tzadik, and the David model, which is the Baal Tshuva model, and the two different approaches to God in Judaism and the advantages and disadvantages of each approach and how we see these models play out throughout the generations. So one model that you can imagine is the Hasidim, which are like the Baal Tshuva, versus the Misnagdim, the people that were originally opposed to the Hasidim, which would be the Tzadikim, the Yosef model. So the Tzadik is somebody who rarely ever sins, and when they do sin, it's usually a minor sin, and they do Tshuva right away, and the Tshuva is out of fear, and it gets the sins erased. The Baal Tshuva is somebody who leaves the path, commits sins, but then when he comes back, it's out of ahava, it's out of love. And the Gemara tells us that when somebody does tshuva out of love, it actually turns his previous sins into zchuyot, into merits. So it's two different models. I say to a lot of parents who are worried about their kids going off the derech, I always say everybody wants a Yosef HaTzadik, but Mashiach is coming from David, the Baal Tshuva. So it's much more mysterious. We don't understand it, but that's where Mashiach comes from the things we don't understand. But it's much easier to understand Yosef HaTzadik. Okay, so back to the Chafetz Chaim. V'ra od inyan nora me'od shenisavev b'meshech hayamim mida b'mida. So he's going to show a measure for measure that comes from an earlier event to a later event. Shehine Yosef nichshal b'chet halashon, kakatu b'torah. So Yosef is accused, according to the Midrash, of speaking Lashon Hara, based on the psukim in the Torah. So he said that his brothers ate aver min hachai, a limb from a live animal, and that they married mothers and daughters together, and that they would make fun of the brothers who were the children of the servant women, of the shvachot. And the rabbis present an excuse that even though it looked that way, that they were doing all those things, they actually were validated and observing halacha, whatever halacha was in that day and age. And so it really was pure Lashon Hara because Yosef didn't judge them favorably. He wasn't don the kafzchut to them. So that's this idea of this Lashon Hara. And it actually says in the psukim dibato, which is the Lashon Hara that he would bring back to his father about his brothers. So that's what the Midrash says was the Lashon Hara. Okay, velo ratzu echav limcholo, and his brothers didn't want to forgive him, bishum ofen, in any way, shahachu ito be'omek hadin. They went with him all the way to the end of the judgment. You know what? This is screwed up my formatting because I put English to translate a couple things. Hopefully it's just this line. Okay, so they wanted to metaphorically sick the dogs on him. That's nishasabo. So they said, let's kill him. So they wanted to take him to the end of the judgment, and they wanted to kill him and sick the dogs on him. Afshe Yehuda hagen bado, and even though Yehuda protected him, v'lo henicham lahargo, and he didn't let them kill him, she'amar ma betza, because he said, what would be the use of killing him when we can make money off of him, we can sell him. Afilu hachi limcholo lo ratza b'shum ofen. Even when they decided not to kill him, they still weren't willing to forgive him. She'amar l'chu v'nim karenu, because it says, let's sell him. V'tachat zeh b'dorota etidim, and in place of this, measure for measure, in the future generations, shenichshal echad mizera Yehuda, b'isur kabalat lashon hara. Somebody from the seed of Yehuda would sin, would fail in the prohibition against receiving lashon hara. That stands for lashon hara. lo ratza echad hamiyuchad mizer Yosef limcholo. A special certain someone from the seed of Yosef didn't want to forgive him. So we have this same thing playing out in future generations. Umihu shenichshal b'shgaga kazo. And who is this person who accidentally, not on purpose, sinned in this, failed in this way? Adoninu David HaMelech, alav hashalom. This would be David HaMelech. She'emin letziva ma shediber al mafivoshet ra'ah. Because he believed what Tziva said about mafivoshet, that was evil. Ve'amar ata tziva techalku et hasadeh. And he said, you and Tziva will divide the field. Yatzdabat kol ve'amra, Rechavam v'Yeravam, shehu mizera Yosef. So Rechavam, the son of Shlomo, and Yeravam, who's from the seed of Yosef, yechalku et amalucha. They would divide the kingdom. V'kakatuv v'kra she'acharei mot Shlomo. And it's written in the Pesukim that after Shlomo died, by Yeravam, v'kol Yisrael l'Rechavam. So Yeravam led all of Israel to come to Rechavam. U'bikshul she'yekel mehem me'at ol hakasha v'yavduhu. They just asked that he would lighten the load, the yoke, a little bit, the difficult yoke, because there were very heavy taxes placed on all of the Jewish people at the time in order to build the Beis HaMikdash. And of course, when Rechavam takes the kingship, the Beis HaMikdash is built, and it seems only fair that they should lighten the taxes and that they shouldn't have to give so much to the government. And then they would serve him. That's what they say. Lighten the load and we'll accept you as a king. We'll serve you. V'heshiv lahem kashot. But Rechavam responded to them very harshly. Avi yasar etchem. I'll just read in English. My father flogged you with whips, but I will flog you with scorpions. Miad heshivu kulam ish lo halecha. Yisrael v'himlichu et Yeravam. Immediately all of Yisrael, which would be all the tribes outside of Yehuda and Binyamin, they each went back to their tents and they made Yeravam king. V'hasiba haita mipnei kabalat lashon hara shel David. And the whole reason why this happened was because David received lashon hara. Kamo she'amru chazal, imalei kibel David lashon hara, lo nechlaku machut beit David. If only David hadn't received this lashon hara, then the kingship of David wouldn't have been divided. V'lo avdu Israel akum, and Israel would never have worshipped idolatry. V'lo galinu meretzenu, and we wouldn't have been exiled from our land. And we saw all that in the Gemara. V'zehu hakol mida b'mida kamo shekatavnu, and this is all measure for measure, like we wrote. So I think that this addresses something that we don't talk about enough. We spend a lot of time talking about not speaking lashon hara, but we see the importance of this other aspect also of not receiving lashon hara, which is really super important and led to the whole division of the kingdom and avodah zarah and exile. And it's something that we can leave with through learning about this story of David, this very odd, uncharacteristic story of David, and what happened. And next week, when we study the Shem Yishmuel, we'll get some very interesting mystical Hasidus explanations for why David accepted this Lashon Hara. Okay. Thank you.
Very interesting. Stacy.